Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. We come to praise the mighty God, the Almighty Father. Today we come to say thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your great favor. We come to say thank you for your love. You're loving us. You created us in your mighty image. What a great Father you are. What a loyal Father you are. You are loyal. You are faithful. You are the King of Kings, and we come to say hallelujah to the great and mighty one, our Creator, our Father, Jehovah, El Elyon, the Most High God. We come to say thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your favor. Oh, God, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. All second heaven activity is cut off from us at the root in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that you are Jehovah Adonai. You are Lord of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that you are Jehovah El Shaddai, Almighty. Nothing is impossible to you, O God. That's why we serve a great God like you, the Almighty Father, the Almighty King. Oh, we thank you that you are Yahweh, O God, in the name of Jesus. You are, oh my gosh, a great God who we have covenant with. You are Jehovah Jireh. Oh, Lord, you provide. In the name of Jesus, when we say Abba, Father, we need. You provide according to your will. Hallelujah. You are Jehovah Rapha, the one that heals us. In the name of Jesus, you heal us. Not only physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, you even heal us of our soul diseases. What a great Father you are. You are Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is our banner. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, we call upon your name, your holy name. You are our God, even unto death. Oh, God, we just thank you today for what you're doing and what you've done. You've done great things in our lives. In the name of Jesus, your word says in Psalms 29, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength unto his name. Your name alone is mighty. And Lord, we thank you for preserving us in the name of Jesus, for we put our trust in you. We don't some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in you, O God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, today, O God, help us to hearken, to listen unto your voice, to listen to what you're saying, O God, in the spirit. Help us to get in that quiet, secret place with you in the mighty name of Jesus and hear your words clear, because you speak to us in the name of Jesus, even in the midnight hour. You speak to us and your words are clear. But, Lord, you don't speak over all the noise, all the disruption, all the distractions. You want us to be clear of distractions when we come to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you want us to be clear, to hear your voice clearer than ever before. And, Father, we say hallelujah, hallelujah to the Most High God, to the King of Kings. We come thanking you, blessing you, honoring you today because you are our Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, there's no God great like you, Jehovah. You are God of impossibility. There's no God who is Mokoshabakad, powerful, powerful like you. You said, don't let our hearts be troubled. Believe in you. Believe also in your Father, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for those words. In the name of Jesus, you are not a man that you should lie. You are Mokoshabaka, truth. And you said that the truth will make us free. So, Father, we desire to be free from oppression, suppression, depression, anything that would hinder us, all hindering spirits, all blocking spirits. We desire to be free. We thank you, Lord God, that we have an inheritance from you, and it's a mighty inheritance, a mighty inheritance. We call upon your mighty name today, and we say hallelujah. Father, you know you said who can know their errors. So, Father, forgive us for every error, every transgression, every trespass that we have done against you. You only have we sinned and done these things in your sight. Oh, God, everything done in the dark must come to light. So, So, Father God, we thank you that no hidden thing is hidden from you. You see everything. And so, Father, we ask you to forgive us for secret faults, for sins of omission, sins of commission, sins, oh God, that we have committed against you. You only have we sinned and done these things in your sight. Hallelujah. Have mercy on us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we count it all, joy, that you know our name. We count it all a joy that you know our name. We're calling on you today, and we're asking you to order our steps. We need our steps to be ordered by you. Name, your holy name, oh God, and you are God who loves us with all your heart, and you commanded us to love you back with all of our heart, soul, and strength. So, Father, your second commandment was like unto that, to love each other like we love ourselves. So, Father, anywhere we are falling short, forgive us, oh God, cleanse us, oh God, and you are a master teacher. Teach us in the name of Jesus. Teach us, oh God. Teach us, oh Lord, how, oh God, in the name of Jesus, teach us how to follow all your commandments, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You give good gifts to your children, and you don't add any sorrow. So we are thanking you today for what you're doing in all of us. You are doing great things in your people, and you have great plans for us. You said you know the plans that you have for us. They are a great plan to give us a great future and a great hope. Greater than we ever thought or imagined. Your thoughts are higher. Your ways are higher than ours, oh God. We're human, but you are supernatural, a mighty God who nothing is impossible to. Well, I say good afternoon, everyone who's joined us. We thank God for you. Yeah, you, I'm talking to you. We thank God for you, you and you. We thank God that, you know, we serve a God that nothing is impossible to. He is omnipotent, most powerful. Yeah, he is everywhere. You know he's all over the world now. He's not just in America. You know, we want to just call him our God, but he is the creator of the whole universe. He's in Africa, Asia, Antarctica, North America, South America, Europe. He's all over the world. There's no place that he's not. I don't care where you go. He said if you make your bed in hell, he's going to be there too. So you know what? We are covered with the blood. The blood of Jesus covers us. He's an awesome God. Well, I say good afternoon to you. We thank God he's ordering ourselves. We don't know the way to go. I know I don't. I don't know which way to go. Sometimes I don't know if to go left, right, or straight ahead. So I know I'm not supposed to go backwards. I do know that much. But, you know, we got to consult the Most High. Lord, we need you in this hour. Lord, we don't know the way, but we know you are the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. So today, we are praising our mighty King. We are giving him glory, glory to his name. He's the almighty God. He deserves all the glory. I know sometimes we think we did this or we did that, but look here, we can't even breathe. We can't even keep the coronavirus away from our nostrils, away from our body. Only God can do that. Hallelujah. Only God can do it. Yeah, so we just got to depend on him, and we got to what? Walk by faith. We can't walk by sight because some things we can't even see. We got to just trust in the Almighty. He's going to bring us through every situation. Don't worry about nothing. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. No, no, don't let your heart be troubled. No, 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 no. We can't be troubled in this hour. We got to stay in the secret place with the Father, or we're going to praise him. Praise our way through every situation. We are so grateful today. We have glorious minister, Sister Glory Jean Charlotte with us from Marrero, Louisiana. She's going to sing and play a song of praise. And I tell you, she's an awesome songstress. She can play the word of God like she was born with her fingers on the keyboard. So we thank God for her this afternoon. And then right after her, we got minister, Sister Lanny McBride from Jackson, Mississippi. They are both mighty women of God. And I tell you what, they are full of the word. And they are, you know, musicians. Thank God for them. God put music in them. Yeah, he put music in them. So I thank God for you, you, and you. So I thank God. Good afternoon, Minister Sister Glory Jean Charlotte. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing fine. I give God the glory. And I thank God for hearing you and everybody else. I know everybody's doing good today. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. And okay, I'll sing this song. Hallelujah. My peace, he has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace. He is my peace. He has broken down every wall. He is your peace. He is your peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is your peace. He is your peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is your peace. He is your peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is your peace. He is your peace. Yes, all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is your peace. He is your peace. He is your peace. He has broken down every wall. He is your peace. He is your peace. He is your peace. He has broken down every wall. Oh, he is your peace. He is your peace. So cast your cares. Oh, cast your cares on him. For he cares for you. He cares for you. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. For he is your peace. Oh yes, Lord, he is your peace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise God.
Man, hallelujah. He is our peace. He's a peacemaker. You know all this trouble out here in the world? He ain't creating the devil wreaking havoc. But God is our peacemaker. He cares for us. So I thank you for the word of God that she brought through the song. He is our peacemaker. Thank you so much, Minister Glory Jean. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yes.
Now we have Sister Lana McBride from Jackson, Mississippi. Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, praise God, Sister G and our sisters and brothers in Christ. I don't possess houses of land, fine clothes of jewelry, oh no, sorrows and care in this old world, my lot seems to be. But I have a Christ who paid the price way back on Calvary. And Christ is all in all this world to me. There are some folks who look and long for this world riches. Oh, yes. There are some folks who look for and position too. All in my life, this makes me happy, yeah. Oh God. Oh, Christ is all in all this world to me. Oh, Christ is
already given it. We just got to say thank you, Lord. We got to claim it. We got to, you know, let him know, look, Father, we thank you that you are God. We thank you that you are our Father. He knows everything we need, but we still got to ask. You know, your child may need, you know, something, and you're not aware of it until they come to you and say, Mama, Daddy, I need this. We may not be aware of it. But God knows and he's aware of it. But he is a good, good father, and he wants us to come and ask for whatever we need. So we're thinking that he's our all in all. And you know he's our peacemaker. Of course you know that. He is Jehovah Shalom, a mighty peacemaker. You know when the world say, how in the world did you make it through that storm? You know how we made it through? Because he's all in all. He kept us. He held us. He protected us. He shielded us from all the storms. Now look, we got to go through trials. You know why? You ask the question, why you got to go through a trial? You know why? Because they're going to make us strong in the Lord. Strong. You know, Daniel went through many trials. He was, oh, my God, they set him up. They set him up. You've been set up? Yeah, I know you've been set up, too. All of us. We've been set up. But I thank God for you. Yes, the Lord loves you so much. Anytime you say, oh, my God, Lord, I'm going through this, he know it. Just bring it to him anyway. Let him know, Father, I need help. I can't make it on this road by myself. I've been through this. I've been through that. And I need you to erase all of that pain, all of that sorrow, everything I've been through. I need you just to erase it and just give me a clean slate to start from scratch. And you can do it. So, well, if you got your Bibles ready, you know you're going to need them. We're doing scripture search. We're going to be praying for some people today. Very woman who's dear to my heart, we're going to be praying for her in a little while. But right now, we're going to do scripture search. So get your Bibles out. We are thankful that the Lord gave us basic instructions in the earth before we leave here on how to get to out the earth. You know, we don't know how to get out the earth. We don't know nothing. We need a guide. You ever been on a trip and you had a tour guide? Or you been traveling somewhere you had a tour guide? Because you're like, I can't speak the language. I don't know which way to go. But the tour guide can speak every language you needed to communicate with others. Well, guess what? God is our tour guide. We're on a tour. We're on a trip. A trip of a lifetime. I'm so grateful for this trip. Because guess what? This trip is guided by the Most High. The mother trips are guided by human beings. They may make a mistake. But God, he's perfect. He don't never make a mistake. So we're doing scripture search right now. And I'm going to read the scripture. And you're going to tell me where it's found. Don't you just love it? The word is so awesome. The word is not us. So get your tablets out, your Bibles out, whatever you need, computers, whatever you need to do the research. And then this is how we do it. We state our name. And then we read the scripture. We state our name. We read the scripture. We don't say, I got it. No, no, no. We state our name. We want to know who you are. We love you. But we still don't all know everybody's voice. So we want to hear your voice. And you know that voice God gave you. He gave you us all beautiful voices. His voice is, oh, his voice is majestic. His voice stands out. You may hear your mama's voice, your daddy's voice, your sister, your children's voice. But I'm telling you, his voice is distinct. You know it when it's him. It's very distinct. You ain't going to get it mixed up. So the first scripture is says, give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. All the lines are unmuted. So all you got to do, state your name and read the scripture. And, of course, you know, most of them I use is from King James, but, you know, whatever verse you want to use. As long as it say the same thing, we all right. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Where is that found? Got a little echo in the background, so I may have to mute your phone until you want to speak. So put a little note next to you. My phone muted. Phone unmuted. Come on. Give ear. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Where is that found? State your name and tell. Come on, let us know. I know you know.
This is
Brian
Sister
on here, you know. Oh, my God.
Sister Lainey, Isaiah 28:23. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech.
Thank you, Sister Lainey. Awesome. Good job. All right, now, for the next scripture, this is how we're going to do it. Everybody got to find the scripture. After the person read it, say their name and read it, then we all going to read it together. Because y'all be cheating over there. don't know if y'all be, you know, texting somebody else or you know how you do. God knows. He see what you're doing, but I don't see it. So, you know, we got to pay attention. We got to, you know, the Lord may be trying to speak to you on this radio broadcast, and you over there somewhere on your cell phone, you on your tablet, you know, you talking on another phone, got us muted. You know how we do, because look here, I done done all of that. I'm human too. I ain't got no wings and no halo. I done it all. So look, I used to tell the children, look, I was your age too. I know all the little tricks, all the little whatever we do. It's human. It's a human thing. So next scripture says, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Ooh! Isn't that a powerful scripture? The meek also shall increase their joy. Get your Bibles ready. Everybody got to read now. And the poor among to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Where's that found? State your name and read.
Brother Brian, this is Isaiah chapter 29, verse 19 through 20. It says, the meek shall also increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorn is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off.
Amen. All right, everybody. I know y'all got it, so we're going to read it on the count of three. Everybody together. One. Uh-oh. Somebody got something in the background. We need to talk on mute, because I don't know if you're in a bus station, train station, TV, radio, but if you can put that on mute, it's coming through the phone. Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate that. They still got it on. We're going to wait a few minutes for them to cut that off or put their phone on mute, whatever it is. We appreciate you. All right. Thank you. One, two, three. The meek. Come on, let's read.
The meek shall.
I can't hear you. Go ahead.
The meek also
the meek shall increase also their joy in the Lord. And the poor
among men
rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one,
is brought
to naught, and the scorn is consumed.
And the scorn is consumed.
And all that watch
and
for iniquity, are cut off.
All right. Well, I did hear two people. I heard Sister Lane, and I heard Brother Brian. So, come on, you guys, we got to wake up. We don't know when our hour is coming, but we got to be full of the word. See, when you're full of the word, you got a big old sign on you, invisible sign. People in the world know you because your light shining. And if you dim in one area, they're going to say, uh-oh. I'm telling people of the world, they know the word now. Many of them know the word. They'll quote it to you. And they'll say, yeah, I know that one. So let's be mindful. All right, next scripture. I thank you all for reading together. Don't be lazy now. Come on, let's not be lazy and slowful. We got to, come on, y'all, participate. This is a participatory line. We participate. We all, you know, watch the Love of Life and what it, As the World Turns while we watch it, while we on the radio. But we paying close attention. So the next scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Where is that found? I know y'all know how to find it. Hello? Somebody?
Sister G, what
Sister G,
you
can
said
say one more time.
I'm sorry, would you say that again? You want me to read it again?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Come on, we got Bible scholars on here. Mary Nichols on here, she know the word. Talon on here, you know the word. Come on, y'all, wake up. It's not sleep time. Wake up,
this is Talana. It's found in 1 Timothy 5:18, and it reads, "But the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward."
Okay, well, I got it. Anybody else found it anywhere else?
I've seen it, Gloria Dean. I see in Deuteronomy 25:4.
Uh-huh.
And then, I don't know if that's it, Deuteronomy 25:4. Deuteronomy 5:4, I got to get it. Deuteronomy 25:4. Oh, my God, I'm slow. Deuteronomy 25:4. Anybody get it before me, they can read it. Deuteronomy 25:4. Okay, I think I got it. Deuteronomy 25:4. I might be wrong now. 25:4.
Go ahead, read it.
It says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treaded out the corn. That's Deuteronomy 25:4.
Right.
Thou shalt not muzzle
the one I have.
Ox when he treaded out the corn.
Right. That's the one I have. Talana had 1 Timothy something, but I had Deuteronomy 25:4. But they're both correct. 1 Timothy added a little something that I didn't say, but I thank God for the word. So whoever's got it, Deuteronomy 25:4, 1 Timothy. What did you say, Talana?
5:18, but it actually says the scripture says, so it's probably quoting Deuteronomy.
Well, you know,
okay.
It's another scripture that says 1 Corinthians 9:9. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but anyway, hello. I saw that 25:4.
Okay, we're gonna go to 25:4, everybody. If you don't mind going to Deuteronomy 25:4, and on the count of three, you can read it together. Let me hear more than Brother Brian and Sister Laney this time. Come on, you guys, participate. All right, 1, 2, 3, go ahead.
Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth
out the corn.
All right, that's it. Thank you all so much. Okay, we got a couple of more in that area. So it says, this was the next one, number four. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Where is that found? Now make sure you have it. I'm looking for it when you get ready, you know, to say, I got it. Now, don't say, I got it, but before you get ready to read it, make sure you have the scripture in front of you. And Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the cloud of heaven. Where is that found? And read it. Say your name and read it. Turning pages, that's good. I love the sound of turning pages. Y'all doing great. And Jesus said, I am. You can interrupt me whenever you want. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and come to heaven. Where is that?
This is sister in there.
Go ahead.
Meth.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And St. Matthew 24:30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Is that right?
No, that's not what I have, but, you know, that you did cover some of the scriptures. Anybody else have another scripture?
That's okay.
You got part
Mary. Found.
Go ahead, Mary.
Mark 14. And Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Mark 14, verse 62.
Good. Mark 14, 62. Everybody find it so you can read it. Mark 14. Now, you know what? I'm telling you what? The scripture sometimes repeats itself in different locations. So the thing about it is some scripture in the Old Testament is picked up in the New Testament, or you can read it in the New Testament, and it's also in the Old Testament. So Mark 14:62 is correct. And let's read it. One, two, three. Everybody read it together. Go ahead.
And Jesus said,
I am.
And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
All right. Excellent job. We got one more in that area. This one says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Where is that found? Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Where is that found? All lines are unmuted. Everybody can participate. Go ahead. Take your name and read it. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Where is that found? I'll give you a clue. It's in the New Testament. That's a clue. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
Hi, it's Tawana. It's found in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 1:6.
Okay, put your mouth closer to the phone, Tawana.
2 Thessalonians 1:6. It says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
All right. That's correct. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. I'll give you a few seconds to find it. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. That's in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. All right. 1, 2, 3. Come on, you guys. Read it.
Standing is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble
you. That trouble you.
2 Thessalonians 1:6.
1 Thessalonians.
I appreciate you all because let me tell you, you are gaining skills. You are gaining skills in searching the word. You are gaining skills and knowledge and wisdom of the word. You are reading the word, and that's what God wants. So you are being obedient when you are gaining all of these skills. So the homework is not just for naught. The homework is get you in the word. The word of God says study to be pleasing to God so that you will know how to rightly divide the word. And then, you know, we have to go out and tell other people. I mean, how can you tell somebody else about the word and you don't know it? They say, well, don't you go to church? You don't just go sit up on the pew. I mean, when the pastor or whoever's preaching, we have to pay attention, write down some of the scriptures, come home. You know, God is speaking to us. So maybe God wants to talk to you when you're looking for some of these scriptures. All right, the next one is... What's missing? Now, I'm going to give you the scripture, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to leave off something. So you tell me what's missing. You're going to state your name. Tell me what's missing. Jeremiah 1:8. So you can go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the blank. What word did I leave off? What's the missing word? Jeremiah 1:8. State your name and let me know the word that's missing and read the scripture. Jeremiah 1:8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the who? What?
Glory to God. Glory to God. I am with thee. Jeremiah 1:8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord.
All right. Lord is the word that was missing. Good job, Gloria Jean. Okay, Lord. We're not going to take time to find all these. But I do. I'm sorry. What did you say?
I was saying the word is Lord, L-O-R-D, Lord.
Yes.
The last word was.
You are correct.
Uh-huh.
You did a great job. Thank you so much. All right. So search out the word. That is a part of what God wants us to do to please him. I ain't got nothing to do with it. You can't please me because, you know, I may be this way today, that way tomorrow, this over here, over there. You know, human being, you hard to please. But Father, oh, yeah, we can please him. Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 1, Old Testament book. Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, gather yourselves together. Gather together, old blank, not desired. What word did I leave off? Gather yourself together. Gather together, old blank, not desired. Zephaniah 2:1. What word did I leave off? State your name. Tell me the word I left off and read it. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1, Old Testament book. Okay.
I'm sorry, Zephaniah, what?
2, chapter 2, verse 1.
Oh, okay.
Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourself together, ye gather. Go ahead.
Uh-oh, no, sorry. Wrong Z.
Gather yourself together, ye gather together, old blank, not desired. What's the missing word? Read the scripture. State your name. Zephaniah, verse 1. Vivian.
Is that?
Okay, go ahead, Beth. Read it, Yvette.
Okay, I got a different translation of what y'all got. It says, he who breaks in peace
will
come up before your face. Guard the ramparts, watch the way, strengthen your loins, fortifying your power with mud. And then you said, break with what you can pieces. Break in pieces.
Okay, do you have Zephaniah? Do you have Zephaniah chapter 2 and 1?
Oh, I saw I had that. Oh, man. I had that. I was reading on another book. Here it is. Gather together, O nation, without shame. 2:1
All right, Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together, ye together, O blank not desired. What word did I leave off?
O nation.
Nation, good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yvette. Excellent, excellent. All right, got a couple of more scriptures here, three more. The next scripture is Luke 6:46. And it says, and why call me Lord, and do not the blank which I say. What is the blank? Why call me Lord and do not the blank which I say?
Mary?
Luke? Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
All right, so things was the word that was missing. Thank you, Mary. Good job. All right, now, we're moving right along. I hear somebody talking. Are you talking to me? Okay, next scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:3. 2 Corinthians 1:3. It says, blessed be God, even the blank of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the blank of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort. Hello. What word did I leave off?
You said 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God.
What word did I leave off?
I didn't remember what it was. I got the scripture, but I can't remember what word it is. It said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Amen. Good job, Sergeant. Father was the word that I left off. I told you guys are gaining skill, knowledge, and wisdom in the word. In the word. All right. Last scripture in this section is Exodus 34:5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and blank the name of the Lord. Exodus 34:5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And blank the name of the Lord. Okay, go ahead, Mary.
Okay. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord.
Yes, proclaim was the word I left off.
Okay.
Excellent. You guys are doing it. I'm so proud of you guys. You did an excellent job. It's homework time. Right after homework time, we're going to do some special prayers. So we need Sister Lainey is doing Genesis 48:1-7. You know, we read it during the week, every day, or listen to it on the word, listen to the word, read the word, and ask the Lord, give me revelations. What does this word mean, Lord? And then we say, okay, now, Lord, how do I summarize it? That's what I do. But however the Lord, you know, leads you to do it is all right. So we got, we're in Genesis 48 through 49. So Sister Lainey, she had Genesis 48, 1 through 7. Go right ahead.
Yes, ma'am. The main characters in this reading is Joseph, Jacob, and his two sons, Manasseh, and is that Euphrates? Did I say that right? Ephrathah. I'm not sure how to say that name. But Joseph was told that his father was sick.
Okay.
And the custom of that day is that the fathers wanted their sons to be blessed by those who were in a high rank, you know, high position of heads of families. So Joseph took his two sons with him. And when Joseph was told that, when Jacob was told that Joseph was there, even though he was weak, he strengthened himself, set up in the bed. It was very important for him to have this dialogue with him and with Joseph and his sons. And he told Joseph that God had appeared to him when he was in the land of Canaan and blessed him. And God told him three things. He told him, I'm going to make you fruitful and more than that. And I'm going to make you a multitude, a community of people. And I'm going to give this land as an inheritance to your seed after you as an everlasting possession. In other words, my family will always possess that land. Okay? And then he told him that your two sons that were born unto you in Egypt will now be my two sons. Just as Reuben and Simeon were my sons, they shall be my sons. And any children that you have after these two, Ephraim and Manasseh, I think Ephraim, they were only about 19 or 20 years old. But when you have any children, this verse 6, any children that you have after these two, they can be yours. But the children that, if you have any, they will be called by the names of their brothers in the territories that they inherit. In other words, those two brothers were going to be heads of families, going to represent new tribes. He said, when I came down, verse 7, from Patnam, Rachel, my beloved, died in the land of Canaan, just a little ways out from Ephraim, which is now called Bethlehem. I buried her beside the road in Ephraim. And that's 1 through 7.
All right. Thank you so much. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. The next person is Sister Mary Nichols. You had Genesis 48, 8 through 14. So let's hear what the Lord gave you.
Yeah. This is a very tender moment when Jacob actually sees his grandsons, or now his sons. And I was kind of fascinated by the number of times the word see was used, because Jacob was having trouble with his vision. And verse 8 says that Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph, of course, tells him that these are the two sons that I've had while in Egypt. And once again, it's mentioned in 10 about the eyes of Jacob being dim and that he could not see that well. So Joseph brought the two sons very close to him so that he could see them, so that he could kiss them and embrace them. Jacob mentioned that he never thought that he would see Joseph's face, and now God has blessed him to actually see the son of Joseph. And so that is a beautiful thing. When it came time for Jacob to bless the sons of Joseph as his own, he wanted to give them a blessing. when Joseph presented them close enough to Jacob. Joseph had the older son to be at one hand and the younger son to be at another hand. And as Jacob was about to give his blessing, he actually crossed his hands and put his right hand on the younger and his left hand on Ephraim's head, the older. And basically, as he gave his blessing, he reversed how it had, was expected to go, that the older son would get the first blessing and probably the biggest blessing, and that the younger son would get another lesser blessing. But as in Jacob's life, I think it was Jacob, it happened that he, being the younger of the brothers, he got the biggest and the best blessing, and he did the same thing to Joseph. So.
Amen. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, next we have Brother Brian, Genesis 48:15-22. What the Lord show you?
Yes, ma'am. So in this particular verse, Jacob had blessed Joseph's sons, and he had put his hand, and he had talked about how the Lord had done so many great things and how he delivered him from evil and had blessed the people and the promise that he gave to his father, grandfather, Abraham, and he talked about how they would be able to live throughout the earth. And give the blessing to his son. Joseph told his father that he put his hand on Ephraim instead of Manasseh. And he gave him the right that he was right when he put his hand on Ephraim's head, because he, while his other son was going to be great, he was going to be even greater. Which kind of shows how even in the Bible, you don't have to necessarily be the firstborn to inherit the promise. If you can be the youngest person, and you can be greater than the one that came before you. And after that, he finished blessing him. He finished giving his sons the blessing. And then at the end of this, he asked him before he died, he wanted him to go again into the land that they had came out from before, to come out of the promised land so that he could be buried there. And he would also give him the portion there as well to him and to all of his brothers. And that's it.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. That was awesome. All right. Next, we have Sister Vivian. We're on chapter 49 now. 49:1-8. How you doing, Sister Vivian?
You know, I've been trying to talk, and my phone been on mute the whole while. I am so sorry. I'm here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have 49, chapter 49, verses 1 through 8. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourself together, that I may tell you what shall befall you." So the meaning of this is this chapter forms one of the great dispensational prophecies of the Word of God. It concerns the latter days and the last days. This is the first occurrence of this expression, the last days. The prophecy may be thus divided: Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, the moral history of Israel up to the first advent; Judah, the aspiration of the Messiah and his rejection; Zebulun and Issachar, the dispersion of subjugation of the Jews among the Gentiles; Dan, the appearing of the kingdom of the Antichrist; Gad and Aster and Naphtali, present the cry of anguish of the elect sons of Israel for the second coming of Christ. Joseph and Benjamin together predict the second coming in glory of Israel, the Messiah. Then it said, gather yourself together. The second scripture means that verses 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit impresses the use of both names, Jacob and Israel, as the 12 sons gather in his presence. He is referred to as Jacob. However, when it refers to the prophecies that will be given, he is referred by his princely name, Israel. Reuben was the firstborn, and dignity and excellency of power. This is what Reuben should have been. Unstable as waters, you shall not excel. No prophet, ruler, or great man sprang out of Reuben, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defile it. He went up to his couch. Okay, and Simeon and Levi are brothers, guilty of the same sin. 6, oh my soul, do not come into their secret. That means the secret plotting to the murder of the Shechemites unto their assembly, preparation of the slaughter. My honor with them do not be united. Jacob had no part in the slaughter of Shechem, of the Shechemites. For in their anger they kill a man, and in their self-will they dug down a wall. This means they're in their taking matters into their own hand. Instead of following the Lord, they greatly hindered the prospective wall of the Lord around Jacob. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. This verse means the tribe of Simeon, when coming into the land of Israel several centuries into the future, would have no inheritance, but in fact would have their part in the inheritance of Judah, as well as Levi would have no inheritance at all, but would have their curse turned into blessings as they became the priestly tribe of Israel, but yet scattered over the nation, fulfilling the prophecy. Verse 8 and last, Judah, you are he whom your brethren shall praise. The name of Judah means praise. And it is from this tribe that the Messiah would come. And it speaks of the great victory that Christ would win over Satan and all the powers of darkness at the cross. And he said, your father's children will bow down before you. Israel will do this in the second coming. Amen.
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 That was awesome. Thank you for those revelations. That was some things that I learned and spoke about. I appreciate it. All right, next person, Gloria Jean. She has Genesis 49:9-6.
49, yeah, through 49 through 16. Yeah. Hello? Am I on?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, you are.
Okay, I had from Jeremiah 49, beginning with 9:9. And it's talking about almost like the Sister Vivian is talking about giving the history of everything. And this is the outcome of Jacob ministering to his sons about the days that will be coming before them or whatever. So I was looking at Judah. They say it aligns up for the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. Stoop down, he caught his lion, and his old lion, which shall rouse him up. Praise God. So it talks about Judah. Judah really being, his name meaning praise. Well, Judah, Jacob described his son, he said that Judah was like a lion
who would be a leader. In other words, he's like a leader of tribes. And I believe that Judah was truly was the, I would say he was superior over the other tribes because of the little difference in Judah. He believed in war like all the others did, but he believed in peaceful wars. And Judah is a very important name because this is how Christ, before Christ came through, David came through, and it all through the, and we are in the tribe of Judah too. Praise God! So it's all through the tribe of Judah that he was given the scepter and everything because he was his tribe was righteous to me because he wanted peace. Whenever the war, he brought war, it was peace with him. And that's why I know God represented him as being probably over the others more, praise God. And he, like he engaged in war, because he believed in peace and always won. And then it went on to that's why he was given the scepter. And because of who he was as a lion, you know, I was reading where it said a lion is like he can go out there and do what he wants, he can kill whatever. But then he comes and sit there. Nobody will go against the lion. Nobody, these animals in the zoo, in the forest or whatever, not zoo, but in the forest, they're not going to go and try to stand against the lion. The lion just be at peace. After he does what he wants, then he's at peace. So this is what Judah is all about, the lion. You know, he was strong and binding his fold from the 11th verse, and then he washed his garments in wine and clothes in the blood of grace. That meant to me that where he was where they would be in a plain where there was grace or so, and where he would watch or whatever it was a land of plenty with grapes where they grow. That's what I was thinking of. And and he carried the staff. He had the staff, which is for the rulers, and the scepter was what he had. And so, therefore, he had that, what they called, to Shiloh would come. And Shiloh would have that peace with him. Meant peace. And to me, it means salvation. He would come with that word to bring peace within the nature. And it says, 11 bodies fold into the vine. And they say, fold into the vine and his ass into the choice vine. And in there, they just come that belong to him. He'll go and take his donkey and just put it right there until he's ready. Leave it there in the grapevine or wherever, you know, in that area. And his eyes shall be red as wine, his teeth white as milk. In other words, that's the cleansing of God. All of that is God's. That is God. He's red with wine and his teeth white as snow. That's the power of God, the power of God. And then he talked about, this is all about, to think of it, how Jacob was ministering and prophesying to his son. And so it says in 13 about Zebulon. Zebulon, now this, I'll tell you about Zebulon. This son, he said, will later be given a land between the Mediterranean Sea, and you're talking about the tribe now, and this is a tribe of, you talked about Judah, and we're going to go into the tribe of Zebulon. This son would really be the Lord between the Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee. This is where he's going to be. Now, Zebulun will also have land that extends through the sea in a few millennium kingdoms. So he's going to be right. That's where he will be. So his son will give this part of the land. And then he goes on to, talks about him, and then he goes on to Issachar. Issachar is a strong couching down between two burdens. So what he's saying about Issachar, is his tribe. Let me tell you, his tribe was not a lazy tribe, but he had become so his Baba where the land was agriculture, and he was right near the valley of Jezreel, and there he was where he can be a comfort and peace. Him, tribe like that, comfort and peace, he didn't go into war as he should, so he became a prey to the others. He was there kind of like a slave to the other armies and things. Now, this is what his tribe was like. See, his father, Jacob, was telling them what they were all about when he was, and you prophesying to them. And then as he talked about Issachar, see, Issachar had got, oh, he had got two things about him. He was rested good and pleasant. He was in rest and in pleasant, feeling good. Didn't even worry about anything. So he lost the war. He could not win any wars. He just became, he enjoyed rest and pleasant times. So it can never be a war. He just became a slave to the other warriors. Praise God Almighty. And as we go forward and think on the others, we have Dan. Now Dan, this must be my last scripture on Dan. So Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Now Dan, he was pretty good. Dan, he became a judge in Israel. Samson was one of his greatest judges that came from his tribe. And yet many of Dan's leaders, they worshiped idols and brought God's judgment. So this is what I came to. That's one that stopped right at Dan. That he became, God, he prophesied how each one would be. Judah would be great. He would have the scepter, praise God. And he would have Zebulon. His tribe would be between the Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee, and he will also have land that extends to the sea to the future millennium kingdom. Praise God. And Issachar, guess what? He's going to be at peace and rest, praise God, where he will be. And we thank God for and Dan, he was good, but he needs to learn to fight the battle, praise God. But anyway,
thank God
for all the ones that that Jacob, his sons, they all came to pass the way he prophesied to them.
All right. Thank you so much, Minister Gloria Dean. Next, we have Sister Shalana. She had Genesis 49:17-23.
Hello. Okay. I'm going to, as previously, read how I wrote it down. It says, my summary consists of Jacob's prophecy over Dan, and Minister Gloria Dean said some of it. Jacob told Dan that he would be a strong leader if he continued to trust in God and not in his natural strength. I read one of the commentaries that stated that because of someone's natural strength, beauty, or talent, they may find it easier to trust in themselves rather than trust in the one who gave them the talents or the gifts. And we know of one of those people being Samson, who was a Danite. Dan name meant in so many words, like an adder that bites the heel of the horse. And it, and with an adder, they sometimes have horns that stick out of the ground, and they hide their bodies so that you can't see them, or their prey can't see them, or the ones that they want to catch can't see them. But as soon as the person comes or the thing comes to them, they attack, and they attack in a deadly way. And that was one of the names that Dan meant. But we can see that those things happened in Samson. They also went out in this tribe, the Danites, they also went out and instead of trusting God as they should in a lot of ways, they worshiped idols. They allowed idolatry to be their portion. And Dan was from Leah's handmaid. I think her name was Naphtali. Anyway, no, her name, I forgot her name. The other one was talking about Naphtali, which, and basically these scriptures were just given the prophecies of Jacob. Naphtali meant struggle or strife, and Gad was Zilpha's son, and his name meant luck or fortune. Asher's name meant happy and blessed because of what Leah named him when Zilpha, that was her name, Zilpha, when Zilpha gave him birth. And, of course, he prophesied over Joseph. So most of my scriptures from 17:23 was about Jacob's prophecy over the 12 tribes, which was split into the two. And in Joseph's tribe, he was so fruitful because that's what Jacob told him. He would be fruitful and blessed, and that some of his descendants that we see from Jacob being prophesied to was Joshua that led the children out of Israel. Deborah was one of Joseph's descendants. Gideon was one. Samuel was one. And so we see that the prophecy was actually over Joseph's life. I'm going to kind of summarize it to say that one of the questions that it asked me when I was reading these scriptures, and it stuck out to me, and if you all can take it with you, it says the question was asked from reading a commentary, which was, can I trust God when injury or persecution is directed at me, even if it's a spiritual battle? And that was some of the things that happened with Jacob. In spite of what he may have been facing, God always rescued him from his enemies and his struggles, and it drew Joseph closer.
Amen. Thank you so much. Okay. There are a couple of people that are not here to do their scriptures. Miriam, she's out of town observing her birthday, and Sister Rhonda has had doctor visits, so we're going to be praying for them. But right now, we're going to offer up a special prayer for a very dear friend who's like a mom to me. She's my spiritual mom, Mother Mary Scruggs. She had a heart attack. She's in the hospital. A few of us on here know her. Talana knows her. Sister Annette knows her. Maybe other people may know her, but she is in the hospital right now. And I asked Sister Annette if she would say a special prayer for Mother Scruggs.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we love and praise, bless, and honor you today, Lord God. And Father, we bow the knees of our hearts today, Lord God, asking you to have mercy, O God, according to your loving kindness and tender mercies, Lord God. We ask you, O God, for mercy and grace to abound toward Mother Scruggs, Lord God. Father, she is dear to our hearts, and Father, we know she is dear to you and so many more people, God. Father, we just ask you, O God, to spare her life in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to spare her life and let it not be sorrow upon sorrow, O God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord God, to give the doctors the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on what to do for her. In the name of Jesus, we pray that godly people would work with her, those that attend to her, God, that mercy and compassion, Father, would engulf her as she is in your care. In the name of Jesus, Father, we know that she is a woman of faith, Father, great faith that is Mother Scruggs has. And God, we pray, oh God, that you would honor her, oh God, for the work that she's done. And Father, we pray that you raise her up from her sick bed in the name of Jesus, Father. We ask you, Lord God, to let your blood prevail over her. Even as we pray, oh God, we plead the blood of Jesus from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet in the name of Jesus, the great physician, Lord. You are the great physician. And we call upon you now, Lord God, for miracles to be wrought in her life, O God. Father, we just ask you, God, have mercy upon her and have mercy upon us, O God, in the name of Jesus, Father. And Father, we pray that your stripes, by your stripes, you said that we are healed, Lord God. And we just pray, O God, that you just grant her miracles, even as we pray, God. Father, honor the prayers of your people, Lord God, as we gather today, Lord God, lifting her up, asking for mercy and grace to abound in the name of Jesus. We pray that you comfort her family in the name of Jesus. Give them strength, Lord God. O Rabashiko Roboshe, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we know that even with what's going on now, Lord God, that you're drawing her, them, all of us, Father, you're using these things to draw us closer to you. And so, God, we just ask you to honor your servant, Mary Scruggs.
We ask you, Lord God, to continue to bless her with long life, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord. She has been a prayer warrior for many, many years, Lord God, instant in season and out of season to pray. And so, God, we just pray that you would honor her, Lord God. And, Father, our desire is that she live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Our desire is that she have abundant life, God. And so, Father, we ask you to hear our prayer today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And as I said, Lord God, asking you to spare her life, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that it would not be sorrow upon sorrow. And, Lord, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let your blood prevail. Surround her with angels, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just ask you to bless the hands of the doctors and the minds that they would know what to do and how to do it, God. And so, God, we ask you to have mercy, Lord God. And in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for her and the blessing she is to the kingdom of God, to us, Lord God. She is a blessing, God. We pray that you raise her up from her bed of affliction. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer. We appreciate it. And let's continually pray for Mary Scruggs. She reminds me of Dorcas Tabitha in the Bible in Acts, where she did many good things for people. Oh, my God, for years and years and years and years and years. And even for my birthday, I told her, I said, I'm going to take you out for dinner for lunch for my birthday. She said, no, I'm taking you out. So she treated me for lunch my birthday, and she prayed for me as well. So I thank God for this mighty woman of God. She is, you know, stood in a gap for so many people, so now we stand in a gap for her. The title of our message today is called Family Matters. It's from Genesis 48:49. Now, matters are present situations or state of affairs. Family is a group consisting of parents and children living together in a household, and it could be, you know, grandparents and children, aunts and uncles and cousins, children. You know, different families are composed differently. But we thank God. In Genesis 48, Jacob is coming to the end of his life. He is aware of his upcoming departure from this life, and he wants to be buried with his family who God called him from life as he has known it. When Joseph was told that his father was sick, he went to visit his father with his two sons. And you know the story, we've been going over that today. And because family matters to Joseph, he went to be with his father, whom he was about to leave the earth realm. And we're all going to leave here one day. And so we have to be prepared. We can't just say, oh, well, I got tomorrow. No, tomorrow's not promised. We don't know what is going to happen in the next second. But we pray that we would, you know, have our lives, living our lives in such a way, like, you know, like Jacob. He was ready to go. He was prepared and ready to go. So, you know, one day we're going to drop this earth suit. We're going to take on another form, our glorious body. And you know, when his father heard that Joseph was there to visit him, his father got up enough strength, even though he was sick. He got up enough strength. He sat up in his bed to see his firstborn by Rachel. You know, Joseph was Rachel's firstborn. That was the one that Jacob worked for 7 years. And then he married her, but he had to work another 7 years. So I thank God, because we don't know the hour or the day when God is going to come for us. We don't know. So we have to be prepared. So Jacob was prepared to leave. And he said, look, let me talk to my children. Let me bless my children before I leave. So I thank God that he, you know, did a special thing for his family. He blessed his family. He knew what he was doing now. He knew he was going to leave. Now, you know, sometimes I wonder, if it's something in us that know we're going to leave. I remember when my mother was about to leave, I said, oh, Mama, you coming home? She said, mm-mm. She knew she was going to leave. So she had already, you know, she was prepared to go. But, you know, when Israel, you know, saw his son Joseph, and then he said, okay, who, you know, he was his favorite son, and his daddy didn't care. Jacob didn't care who knew that Joseph was his favorite. It was his favorite wife. He had two wives. His favorite wife was Rachel, and his favorite son was Rachel's firstborn. And so family was important to Joseph, Joseph's father Israel. But he had his favorite son out of all of the 12 sons. Joseph was his favorite. Do you have a favorite child? How do you handle it? Will you show that they are your favorite? Use wisdom so that you will not arouse jealousy, envy, and strife between sisters and brothers or children or grandchildren in the family. Now, Father God speaks in so many different ways. He could be speaking through you or your brothers or your sisters. We should be so familiar with Father God that we know when he is communicating with us. When Joseph had the dreams at 17 years old, God was communicating a message to him. And the message through Joseph was about the future of the family. But instead, Joseph's family got angry with him. They didn't understand. They didn't know how God was going to use him. And, of course, Joseph didn't even know himself. He was a young child. And at that time, he had dreams, but he didn't have the gift of interpretation at that time. So do you know when God is speaking or communicating to you about your present life or about what's to come in your future? Have you been misunderstood in your family or your job or your church family? Allow Father God to show you who you are like he did Joseph. Now, Joseph went through many trials. He was a mighty man of God, but he had to go through situations. Even, you know, everywhere Joseph went, the favor of God, even though he was going through these situations, family matters and situations in different people's family, even the king, but God showed him favor. Now, your brother or your sister can be, you know, can you, when God show your brother or your sister favor, can you be happy for him? Can you, you know, show them that you are happy when God has chosen them and put favor on their lives? When negative emotions come up in you, cast them on God. All of us have felt jealous. All of us have felt, you know, envy. Sometimes we want to drive one another, but go before Father God and let him know, listen, Father, he already know anyway. Just be honest with him. Say, Lord, I'm jealous of her. I'm jealous of him. I'm mad at so-and-so because they got the gift that I want, and I don't have those gifts, Father. Now, even you may love, you know, one of your children more than all of your children or your grandchildren, it should be concealed in your heart so that it doesn't cause hardship on your favorite child or your favorite grandchild. Now, wisdom, the word of God, says in Proverbs 2:6, says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and his mouth, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. James 1:5 says, if anybody, you, me, lack wisdom, ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? Jacob had lots of money, but he lacked wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and insight on how to train his son. He showed partiality. He lacked what it took to raise his children to love each other. He went from being a deceiver, called Jacob, to Israel, one who struggled with God. Family matters. Jacob had to deal with jealousy between his two wives, which caused lots of problems. Two wives were sisters. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. his first wife. Remember, Jacob and his brother Esau had problems getting along. Jacob didn't treat his brother right. He stole his brother's birthright, which wasn't fair, and his mother helped him. They were connivers. Some of Jacob's traits were passed down to his son. Family matters must be handled God's way. God has a plan for every family member. No matter who is left out of God's, I'm sorry, no one, let me say that again, nobody is left out of God's plan. We do not need to allow negative feelings of jealousy, strife, and envy because we're not left out of his plan. God loves us all. He's no respecter of persons. Now, family does matter in Genesis 49. Have you blessed your children? Have you blessed your grandchildren yet? Did you speak a blessing into their lives? In Genesis 49, Jacob called all 12 of his sons together. But remember, he also blessed his favorite son, Joseph's sons, too. Now, in Genesis 49, Jacob, you know, he cursed 3 of his sons, and he blessed the other 9, Judah. He spoke praise over him. Judas, the meaning of his name is praise. So we got to praise God. We got to give him praise. We may not understand some things in our family. We may not understand our sister, our brother. Even in the church, there's some things. You go like, well, I don't understand him. I don't understand her. Well, that's not your business to understand them. But it is your business to pray for them and to praise and thank God for them. The Lord said, I want you to love me. Me first with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then you to love each other in the family, in the church family, on your job. You know them ones who come against you on the job and they lied on you to the boss so they could get a promotion. And maybe you felt you would do it, but you didn't get it and they got it. Jacob blessed each one of his sons according to his blessing. Then he gave them instructions on what to do when he died. What can you say to bless your children? Your grands or even your grandchildren, consult Father God on what to say to bless them. There are 5 elements the scripture describes to bless them, meaningful and appropriate to touch them when you bless them. He touched his grandchildren. Remember, he had the hands on one and hands on the other? You know, also spoken message. Speak to them. Now, I want to tell you something. I went with Mother Scrub. She took me to lunch, and there was a woman when we were in line. A woman, she was just cussing her son. I mean, she was cussing that boy, and, you know, she had several children with her. And, of course, you know, oh, my God, the Spirit of God rose up in me. I got so angry. You know, I'm a defender of children now. I'm telling you, the unborn and the born. So in this woman, she was saying, she was just cussing him out, using foul language, putting him down in front of all the other ones. And so, you know, I went over to her and said, Miss, I called her to the side. Can I speak to you for just a minute? She said, yes. I said, ma'am. I said, you know what? Is this your son? Yes. You birthed? Yes. I said, well, you don't want a prison sentence on him, do you? You don't want him getting shot down, but yet you're cussing the one that you birthed for 9 months. I said, do not cuss him. Begin to bless him. Begin to tell him you're thankful that God gave him to you. Begin to love on him. Begin to hug him. Begin to tell him how important he is. Begin to tell him that God loves him and you love him too. Bless. Don't curse him no more. Promise me that you will never say another foul word to this child. And I thank you. I ask you to apologize to him for the foul words you said to him because you don't want him to rise up when he gets 15, 16, 17 and start cussing you, because that's what you taught him. So she looked at me and she said, yes, ma'am. Now, the lady wasn't 25. She was at least 40-something. So look how long she may have been cussing this child. But we got to stop that. We got to bless our children. We can't tell them all that negative stuff. We can't say, you so bad. No, never use that word. You so bad, because they're going to try to please you and become bad. We got to speak positive words, a spoken message to them. Attach high value to your children and your grandchildren. Let them know that they are valuable. They are loved. And then, you know, picture a special future for them. Maybe they won't go to college. Maybe they'll have their own business. Maybe they'll become an entrepreneur maybe they'll bless other people. You don't know what God has in store for them. And then commit to fulfill that blessing with them. Respect each one of your children. You want to respect you, respect them. Speak honestly with them. Encourage them. Let them know when you're proud of them. Let them know when you're disappointed in them. You know, I'm so proud of you because you did blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm so proud of you because you're obedient to me and to your dad and to your grandparents or whomever it is. But I'm also, now listen here, I'm disappointed because I always want the best for you. And I feel you made a choice that doesn't represent you as God's child, you know, a part of this family. Think about your choices before you choose. Now let's pray. And you pray for your children and your grandchildren that they will make good choices. You know all the mistakes you made. You don't want to fall in your footsteps with the mistakes. You want to fall in your footsteps when you were doing good. So you tell them, I believe in you. And I know in the future you will choose right over wrong, good over evil. And the scripture says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. So tell them, that's your scripture. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I'm going to unmute the lines. You can respond to the message if you like. If not, we'll be moving right along. It's going to be prayer time very soon. And so we want to, you know, learn to bless our children, our grandchildren. We don't want to cuss them out. We don't want to put curses on their lot. And I'm telling you, you know, many times, there have been things that we had to go through. They were inherited curses passed down to us. But no, today we cut those inherited curses off from our children and our grandchildren. Anybody have anything to say before we move into prayer? Anybody have anything they want to say or add?
I'll say amen to that. Many parents need to learn how to stop cursing their children.
Okay, your name, John. What's your name?
Okay, this is Sister Vivian. Yes, many parents I see cursing their children, and it's just the way of life. They've been doing it all their life. If they could just learn not to curse it, and the child is standing there hoping that they wouldn't say those things to them. But many children are being abused through cursing. Amen.
Anything else? Anybody else?
One of the things, Sister G, this has been that, and I think that the Word of God says that, you know, God has given us the power to bless people. And I think that a lot of times, you know, we don't realize the power of blessing people. And, you know, as we bless them, it's just that grace and mercy and love and compassion, you know, that it reaches out to that person. God bless you. And it just makes, to me, it makes a difference. And we have the power to do that. And I have a habit of trying to bless people all the time, not only the people who are good to me, but my enemies, because the Bible said, bless those that despitefully use you, persecute you, and your enemies. That may not be correct, but it's that scripture. So even so, when people are against us, the power of blessing them, you know, God can use it to turn things around in their lives that, wow, this person is blessing me. So it's a lot of power. You know, there's power in blessing other people. And so I just thank God for that. And not only that, but also, you know, to be a blessing. So amen. Thank you for the word.
Amen. Anybody else? State your name and comment, something, whatever you want to say.
Gloria Dean. Gloria Dean, I thank God for the message because it's really real. I know I have 9 children and a bunch of grandchildren, and I can't show no kind of partiality or nothing. I got to let my children know that I love them. I try to keep up all 9 of them, you know. Some of them you don't hear as much because some don't call as much, and you have to call them. And different things happen between children and grandchildren. And I have one great-great-grandchild. But that's what I have to do. No, don't create a problem between each one of them. Just love all of them. As you say, we got to love all of our children. I got to love them all. And I got to think about it. And a lot of times, the oldest one sometimes like the older one. Some say, you know, you love him more than us. No, indeed. No, I don't love them more than you all. The thing is, he's the oldest, and he got to make sure you all are doing the right thing. And that's why a lot of times the older son, he sort of takes charge, and if they go wrong, and what I need, I have to get, he will get in touch with all of them to put in to get what I need. And I thank God because they have to respect the older one to know that the older one is coming in with them. Whatever they need, whatever he can do, he's right there for them, and he's let them know that for the world today.
Amen.
We got
thank
to love
so
all our children, grandchildren, and don't present any jealousy. Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank God. Thank God for your testimony. Appreciate you. Anybody else? Testimony time.
Great. Mary.
Go ahead.
Mary, just a second. I want to thank you, Sister Carita, for having the enough care and courage to speak to that mother. When I retired from teaching, I was teaching infants and toddlers using the Pickler, any Pickler method in TICC. But one of the things that we emphasize and try to teach the parents is that what you say to those little sweet babies, they're going to repeat it just as you say it when the child grows a little bit. And I saw some of those really little children repeating things that they had heard from their mother yelling at them and cursing at them at a very, very young age. So it is, thank you for your courage. Thank you for your wisdom. And that the Lord would put into the mother's heart now, more than ever before, a desire to bless their children and love them and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. That's it.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Brother Brian. As somebody who grew up with six other siblings, I felt this entire message. Because one of the hardest things in the world, one of the hardest things experienced with growing up was exactly what you said about everyone feeling like they were favored more than someone else, and that created so much strife in the home. But as we got older, we all started to understand that wasn't the case at all. That some people at certain times just needed more attention, or they just needed more help in certain things. It's not that our parents, our grandparents loved one more than the other, but it's because they wanted that child to be successful. And that's, yeah, so that's it.
Amen, amen. All right, we got time for a couple of more, and then we're going to go into prayer, praise, and thanksgiving for the Lord, to the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I thank God for each of you. You know what? We're going to continually praise and thank God for the babies. You know, baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Kaiser, baby Revere, because they are making progress. And we, you know, we just got to continually praise and thank the Lord for the prayers that he's already answered concerning the baby. And we also want to pray for Sister Yvette. She hung up now, but she gave me several people that need prayers, so we're going to be praying special prayers for, you know, some people, I'm telling you, we're so fortunate. Some people are laying on their beds in a hospital or in a nursing home or you know, some people got hit by a car or whatever. I mean, it's not just coronavirus. It's a lot of things happening in the world today. And so someone sent me a clip on the children that are being kidnapped and how they're starving and beating them and abusing them. And so, it's this time that we got to watch the children. We can't just let them go to the park by themselves. 8, 9-year-olds, 15, 16. We got to watch them. We got to protect them more. We're not protecting them enough. So when you see things happening, even if you don't say nothing to their mother, their father, you can pray silently. You can say, Lord, you see that father over there? He hit that child in the chest. A father, you see these children, they roam in the street by themselves. I pray against kidnapping of these children right here. Or whatever it is, you can still participate in their lives, even if it's silent prayer. So I'm going to ask Sister Talana, if you'll thank God and praise him for these babies are growing and they're doing good. And I thank God. I don't have reports on all of them, but we're going to thank God and praise God for their lives. And you know, we're going to have to cut the prayer, you know, as short as you can, but get straight, you know, hit the target. You know how to do it, Sister Talana. Thank you. Sister Talana, you still there? Yeah, she's there, but maybe she can't answer right now. Sister Talana? All right, I'll pray. Father, we just give you praise and thanks for all the prayers you've heard since we started praying for the babies, oh God. You know every one of them. You know the situations they've had to face. You know, Lord God, the families you brought them, you're bringing them up in, Lord God. And we ask you to bless them and continually touch them. And we say, thank you, Jesus, even for the babies that are in the hospitals where these babies have gone, oh God. Oh, many of them been hooked up with tubes in their nose and their throat and their hands where they got to give IV. And sometimes they can't eat. But, Lord, we praise and thank you for their lives because you birthed them into this earth for a reason. And we give you praise and we give you thanks for every one of them. In Jesus' name, we thank you for baby Chloe's grandfather getting healthier. Oh, we thank you. We praise you for hearing the prayers for each one of them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for Esther and Valerie and Rhonda, my cousin who's usually on, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you hear the prayers and the cries of the righteous even as we pray and we praise you. We thank you, Father God, for everyone who came on the line today, those who listened, those who participated. We thank you, Lord God, for every situation that we face. You've already got us covered, and we just give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving. Even as we close out today, Lord God, we leave every care at your feet because it's difficult living the life as a human being, which you already know because you came to the earth and you lived the life as a human being. And so we're asking you, Lord, oh, and we are thanking you. We're giving you praise for the life that you've given us. Lord, it could have been worse than what we've experienced, but we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing on our behalf. We just praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory. You are the King of Kings. You know everything about us from the end of our lives to the beginning, and you're watching over us carefully. Oh, yeah, you're watching over us. Many of us have had Daniel situations. We were set up, put in the lion's den, talked about. We were like Joseph, accused of doing wrong when we were innocent. But, Lord, we give you praise and thanks because you have a plan. We may not see the whole plan, but we know you have a plan for our lives. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving. And we thank you, Lord God, as we go our separate ways. Walk with us, talk with us, be a lamp and a light to our pathway. And we honor your presence. And we say, thank you, Jesus, because you are awesome. You are powerful and you are mighty. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I love each of you. Thank you all for being on. Thank God for you all. Keep praying. Keep studying. I will text you the homework soon. Love y'all.
Yes,
guess
ma'am.
What? We're almost out of Genesis.
Love you too.
We're getting ready to go to Genesis chapter 50. That's an awesome chapter too. I don't know about y'all, but I get excited. That is the word. Woo! I love it. I love it. All right. Love y'all.
Love you. Thank you.
Love you and everyone else as well. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless.
All right. Amen. Have a good day. Talk to y'all soon. Love you, love you, love you. Bye.